What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for December 20th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the second best blue eyes in San Francisco, a.k.a. Forbes 30 Under 30 2018, a.k.a. the Instagram verified Tim Geddes.
Let's him host.
When's the last time we did it together?
It's been way too long. Second last Games Daily of 2018.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I can't.
It's so hot. That's not a good. What's a closing time?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Someone on Twitter today referred to this week as the Friday of weeks of 2018. And I'm like,
right.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Good one. So I was talking to one Cena Grace, comic book artist, our friend who's been on multiple Game Over Greggy shows and things. And he hit me up to for questions about something. He's like, also, are holidays a thing anymore? I feel like everybody's still working. And I was like, that's a good point. And then I saw today Damon Hatfield in his IGN Christmas sweater for the IGN White Elephant gift exchange today. I was like, yeah, it feels like we're all working way later into the year than usual.
It's just because of the way the days fall on the calendar this year. It's a weird, unique anomaly where usually there's a good 2-week period that makes sense, quote unquote, to take off.
Yeah.
This year didn't have that. Just because of where I think it's because things fall on Mondays, New Year's and Christmas, something like that. So it's like, if it was like a Wednesday, it'd be like,
gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's totally weird. All right.
Next year.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where you can watch live. If you're enjoying it, please use that Twitch Prime sub to give us a little bit of love. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can easily give your free 30-day subscription to us. It expires every 30 days. It means a lot. It helps us out. Thank you very much. Also, you have a special job if you're watching live. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today is today. Tomorrow... we're doing a Wingstop Smash Brothers stream directly following Kinda Funny Games Daily. You can tune in at 11 a.m., get the Kinda Funny Morning Show, stay for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and then catch us eating a whole bunch of Wingstop and playing Super Smash Brothers. We're very excited.
I want to.
Huh?
Just kidding. Of course I want to.
Of course you want to. You kidding me? You're the guy who beat Cuphead. You're the guy who beat Cuphead. World of Light.
I 100% in World of Light, Greg.
You're an insane person.
Now I'm working through spirits mode. Fuck, it's a drag.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, man. I'm excited to eat the wings, though, and play some Smash with everybody. Then remember, of course, tomorrow is the shutdown day. After that, no live shows for the next 2 weeks, with the exception of when we return on January 4th at 11 a.m. Pacific time for Kinda Funny 4.0, our fourth anniversary, where we will announce everything happening in 2019.
Just no live shows, though. I still want people to understand there will still be episodes of the Game Over Greggy Show and of Kind of Funny Gamescast,
and
including
Party Mode.
Gamescast. We got this week's episode is the behind the scenes of the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, which I think is a really good one. And then the Game of the Year conversation. Yep. And then the Game Over Greggy Show, the final one of 2018, is going to be with Corey Barlog.
Corey Barlog swinging
great,
on through.
Great episode.
It was a really good episode. So, talking a lot about how he owned 2018. And then, Party Mode's also still happening. And today we're brought to you by Loot Crate, but we'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Tim, hell hath frozen over.
Yeah.
And a Christmas miracle is upon us.
A Christmas miracle.
Today, right now, you turn it on, you update it. Spider-Man on PlayStation 4 has the Sam Raimi suit.
Yeah, it does.
Of course, a headline last week when they started talking a little bit about the Silver Lining DLC, episode 3 of The City That Never Sleeps, which drops tomorrow. And they revealed the three suits included in that game, which did not include the Sam Raimi suit, which led a vocal minority on the internet to riot and be assholes and be really rude to Insomniac and people who work there and freak out on Reddit and do all these different... just go nutso. And really taint the image of that community, of which I'm a member of, and so are you, obviously. But that happened, and that was really upsetting. And then today they put out the Raimi suit. And I saw it, and immediately was like, awesome. I'm glad the suit's there. I'm glad they worked on it. I'm sure everyone will understand what happened here. A lot of people didn't. So I want to read two questions back to back.
Jump into the questions.
And then answer them in a long, not rant, and not be mad. Thank you for writing in, but we need to have a sit down and a conversation. Stu wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, so Insomniac buckled today and released an update for Spider-Man PlayStation 4 that adds the Raimi suit to the game. My question is, does this set a bad precedent in how it rewards the, quite frankly, bad behavior of a vocal minority who are incredibly petulant about the suit not being included before now? Not to mention the fact that those of us who didn't give a rat's ass about that suit being included, feeling a bit left out in how suits we did want to see, future Foundation, yo, not making the cut. Thanks, keep up the great work, and happy holidays. In a similar vein, David Scott wrote in and said, this morning, Insomniac announced the Sam Raimi Spider-Man suit will be in Spider-Man PlayStation 4 as a free update. My question is this, where should developers draw the line? Insomniac came under fire after the new suits were announced, and that once again, the Sam Raimi suit wasn't there. Obviously, they added this due to feedback, but when should developers draw the line and not give in to the community that complains? I want the Miles Morales Spider-Verse outfit, but should I just go get a bunch of people to complain about it until it's added? David and Stu, you're nice people. You're kind of funny best friends. These are respectful questions, and I'm not at all using you as a, hey guys, fuck you. You are totally missing the point. And there, you're not alone. And kindoffunny.com/KFGD, there were a million questions about this today. Lots of them, I think, getting a clear picture of what was happening, but then a few and many of them that were like this, that I think missed the point, which led me to a Twitter rant today, right?
Very well-spoken Twitter rant, where I feel, and like before you even get into all this, Greg, I just want to say, you should go to twitter.com/GameOverGreggy. Check out this. It was a whole thread Greg did. Retweet the first tweet. I feel like we need to get this out there, this message out there. Because I saw so many people respond or adding other people to me like, hey, this actually gives a lot of perspective that we weren't thinking about.
And a lot of developers responding saying that I was right. Because again, I don't have inside information. I'm not inside Insomniac. I don't know what's going on. But even James Stevenson from Insomniac tweeted and was like, this is pretty much how it happened.
Yeah.
The Raimi suit being included today for free in a free update that you just get in, like your game updates and you have it, has nothing to do with the outcry over the last 2 weeks about where the fuck is the Sam Raimi suit. What this has everything to do with is the fact that Insomniac's been listening since the beginning. They've seen, I'm a member of the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 subreddit. I'm on there all the time. They've seen the funny GIFs. They've seen this, the funny memes. They understand what it was. The problem here is that it's this incredibly bittersweet and now blemished moment for them and for this game.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that they knew you wanted this. You know, I say you, I'm talking about just Spider-Man in general, the Spider-Man fan base in general. They knew we wanted this. They start working on this thing. DLC 1 comes out. They announce the three suits that are there. People are like, oh, cool. That's awesome. Still two more to go. No Raimi suit. No big deal. DLC 2 comes out. Oh, no Raimi suit. Clearly that's going to be the finale. DLC 3 suits get announced, no Raimi suit, and that's when a vocal minority lost their shit and really went over the line. And to be clear, I saw people responding to this, my Twitter stuff today, being positive about it, and, but there were a number of people like, hey, for the record though, like, why can't we have criticisms? Why can't, and it's like, that's not what I'm saying, and I understand that 280 characters only gives so much context. You are 100% allowed to be like, hey, everybody, thanks for making these suits. They're not the ones I want. I want this. I'd like this. Blah, 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 blah. And make those requests. Blah, blah. But and if you were made a comment like that, that's totally respectful. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the people that drove James away from Twitter over Puddlegate. That sent him death threats and stuff like that, right? The vitriol and the poison people will scream and
spew. The way they say it, you know, don't. The way you just phrase it is correct. Hey, I want this. I feel like the community wants this.
Yeah.
Not, hey, you're not fucking listening. We fucking want this. Yeah, it's like there's just different tone there.
And so, as I put in this long, drawn-out tweet thing I put up, right, that apparently now it seems to be endorsed, at least from James, in terms of this is pretty much how it happened, right? What I've learned in the 12 years next year that I've been covering video games is that nothing is ever easy. Nothing is easy in a video game. So while it seems to us like, sure, slap the skin on and it's good to go, that's not how it works. It takes weeks, maybe months to make that skin. It takes weeks, months to get it on and make sure it looks right and is acting the right way and not freaking out in some weird thing. It takes weeks to months to make sure it doesn't break the entire game. And then this is not even bringing into the fact now the approval process of this has to go through Sony Pictures, I'm sure. This has to go through Marvel, multiple wings of Marvel. I'm sure PlayStation has something to say in the long thing about this. And this process, I'm sure, was started so long ago. I don't even know if, and I'd love to hear one day to have somebody from Insomniac on again, Brian maybe or James, to talk about really, yeah, when did this first get launched? I'm sure they're not stupid. I'm sure this was on the board from the very beginning of like, what are iconic Spider-Man suits? Oh, we want the Fantastic Four one. There's weird stuff happening with all the, you know, Fantastic Four rights. We're not going to do that. Maybe if they figure it out later, right? You know, all right, this, that, the other. We want for sure the Homecoming suits, of course. We want the Raimi suits. I'm sure somewhere someone in a boardroom pushed back of like, we don't want to promote those movies. We're promoting the new movies, the MCU movies. We need to make sure they're the start. Well, sure, but fans, you know, you go through this whole process. You're Insomniac. You're behind the scenes. You're wheeling. You're dealing. You finally get the approval. You finally start working on it. You finally get it. You understand that. James put out a tweet. This is James Stevenson, of course, community manager over at Insomniac. He put out a tweet before the response to me that I had seen when I was already drafting it, basically being like, hey, thanks. You know, sometimes I want you all to understand these things take months and months, and sometimes it comes down to the wire, which I'm reading between the lines on. I'm reading between the lines of, I bet this just got approved in the last 48 hours, half a week.
Yeah.
Meaning that they couldn't put it out, which also means they couldn't ever talk about it.
Yeah, they can't tease it.
This isn't like Kind of Funny when we make a new show and you're like, we'd love if this show existed. And we're like, well, wink, maybe it's coming. They can't do that because there's literal fucking legal red tape about this.
Yeah.
On what you can, can't say. You don't want to kill the deal. You don't want to do this, blah, 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 blah. So you get to this precipice where I'm sure they're behind the scenes like, we got to talk about DLC 3 soon. We can't put this suit in there. So let's pull a trigger on it somewhere else. Hopefully get to give it as a Christmas gift or something, or a surprise or whatever. They announce DLC 3, and what everyone talks about is the horrible fucking reaction from the vocal minority. And again, not the people who are like, oh man, I'm disappointed. The people who are like, fuck you and fuck your face and you fucking suck and yada, yada, yada. Those assholes, right? The people who don't know how to talk to another human being and don't put themselves in their shoes, the shoes of somebody else. And the seed of this is the idea that imagine being Insomniac. Imagine being the people who made arguably inarguably one of the best superhero games of all time. Arguably, maybe the best. They've made maybe the best Spider-Man game. I think it is the best Spider-Man
game. I do too.
Think it's
the best Spider-Man game. Arguably the best game of the year.
Right? A game that you've killed yourself. You've done this. You're just trying to cross the finish line here. You know people want this. You're excited to give it to them. You know the reaction's going to be amazing. You know it's going to have the fun memes, not the mean memes. You know all this stuff. And days before it, you are broken. Yeah. You are broken by this reaction, right? And that was the thing of, you saw Insomniac, you know, respond to people last week harshly, and James respond harshly, because again, people crossing the line. This wasn't, oh man, I'm disappointed. This was them crossing the fucking line and someone having to be like, no, you don't deserve this the way you're talking to us, kind of thing. So you do that, and then you get rain down upon it, and that becomes the story. And no longer the story isn't, for the most part, hey, here's what DLC 3 is and how cool Silver Lining, Sable's back, all this stuff, look at the cool suits. It is, where is this thing, what is this thing, blah, blah, blah. And imagine then being on this time, you've killed yourself to make this suit, to make it happen, and now you don't even want to give it to them, because you know that people are going to look into this and say, oh man, they're caving to the vocal minority, when in reality you never were. You were just trying to reward your fan base, do all this different stuff, and it's such a shitty situation. And it goes back to what I always talk about in terms of, hey, how the internet works in general, and how I think we are tempered to it, of like, the vocal minority is who tends to speak the loudest and the most. Kind of funny, we've done our best to foster this best friend community that doesn't do that, and we are a positive place, and people come together to celebrate stuff, but even the hate will get in there too, and it does everywhere on the internet, because I've always said and feel that hate and anger is what motivates you to speak. Matt Piscatella put up an NPD thing today that I meant to put in here. I forgot, but hey, it's getting in there anyway. That Spider-Man is now officially the best-selling superhero game of all time, right? Like, that means that an overwhelming majority of people bought that game, played that game, platinum that game, as we know from talking to so many of our friends are like, I had to, I did it.
Yeah.
Played it and loved it, and they finished it, and they put the controller down and went, that was great, and went about their lives, happy, smiling, great.
Yeah.
And then there's an audience that gets mad about things, and they're the ones tweeting. So Insomniac trying to cross this finish line is just getting the hate. And so what I put in the tweet today, what I'm saying today, right, is something we've talked about and hinted around about before, right? I've always said that we need to be better to each other. And I hope I've pushed that message, and I've seen so many of you take that message, adopt that message, be better and like that, right? But today, again, and I think maybe as clearly as I've ever said it, it's time for the silent majority to get off the bench. When you see someone being an asshole on Twitter, mute that person. Do not respond with the anger you feel, the hate you feel. Mute that person. And then if they're talking to someone like Insomniac, they're being assholes to them, respond with love to Insomniac. Don't answer hate with hate, anger with anger. Get into these fucking wars on Twitter, on social media, on Facebook, where you just end up rolling in the mud and nothing happens. Mute them, be happy, but then spread the love of what you love. You know, and especially right now, end of the year, we're all doing game of the year, talking about everything we love. We had Corey on here and a touching gog with him, right? I can't wait to get home and play more Spider-Man tonight in the Raimi suit and do this stuff. Like, fucking thank everybody who's done something. Content creators, and I saw great threads about this going around. Do all this awesome stuff and just... We need to practice what we preach, and we need to not engage, and we need to not be the silent majority. Because if we're always going to be the silent majority, then nothing's ever going to change. And it's always just going to be that they hate things. And something bad like this is going to happen, and developers and creators are going to think that the vocal minority speaking is the majority when they're not. And it's something we've learned because we get to be here, and we get to do this every day. We get to put out a games daily every day. And when we do, if it's good or it's bad or the comments or whatever, we understand tomorrow we get another shot. Mm-hmm. Insomniac takes years to make a game. The Spider-Man team arguably won't be seen again for another 2-3 years, maybe. And then maybe they do a different project. Maybe people move around, yada, yada, yada. But still, they come out, they take their swing. Everything is great. But to end it on this note fucking sucks. That this is like the thing. And again, I put in the tweet, this is an in-the-moment thing that, again, you and I know so well,
yep,
of being in the eye of the storm, that we're going to, 6 months from now, Insomniac's going to be having a beer, doing like, oh my God, can you guess how crazy it was? But look at all the awards we have. Look at all this stuff. Look at, you know, totally. Game of the Year edition.
I mean, look at the Puddlegate thing, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Insomniac got so much shit for such a great game, and it's so unfortunate. But they got so much praise as well, and like that's the biggest problem. No matter how much praise you get, it's the hate that gets to you, man. It's totally. That one comment you see that bothers you. And we know that so well. I know that so well. And I love that Insomniac's putting this out, knowing that people are going to be like, oh, we won. But they didn't. And the thing is, Insomniac knows that. And the people that are going to love and enjoy this, they know that. And when the vocal minority feels like they won, they didn't. It's the majority that gets to enjoy this and see what's really happening. And this fucking horn, I swear to God. I'm so...
It's a supportive person.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Insomniac for getting this done, for working on it, and for staying as calm as they did, taking the hits, knowing that they couldn't talk about the thing that everyone's mad at them for that they're doing.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I put in the thing, too, of like, there's no way for them to do this and not have it be bittersweet. Because what's the option?
Yeah.
Oh, man, those people suck and they're going to think they won if we put it out. Well, this deal took X amount of months, X amount of weeks, whatever it is, to get done.
Yeah.
We can't not put it out. Mm-hmm. We can't not do that. We need to put it out, but hope people understand that this is the case and this is what it is. And again, to what your point of like, that vocal minority, maybe they think the trolling won or whatever. And so... A lot of people first reactions, right, would be knee jerk. Let's go into the comments. Let's respond to them. You didn't do this. This isn't it. Blah, 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 blah. The real answer is to mute them and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Wall them off. All anybody who's trying to be a troll on Twitter is looking for is a reaction. If you don't give it to them, they move on and they fuck right off. And they don't even know they've been muted. That's why I love mute. Keep yelling at me. Go ahead. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you're saying. I don't see you. I don't know what's going on. And I know it's easier said than done. We just get to have a lot of experience in it, and it sucks.
It's not easy. That's the thing, too. It's not easy. But I want to believe in the good of people. And I know that like sometimes, especially in recent years, it's felt very hard to do that. But despite all of that, I really feel like it's not just like we always talk about the vocal minority. It's also some people are just louder than others.
Sure.
You know, and it's like they're the ones that get noticed. But when you look at this situation here, I want to believe that of the vocal minority that was angry, for every person that feels like they made this change and that they're yelling got this, I want to believe there's another person that was part of that group that's going to see your tweet, going to see other people's conversations about this and be like, oh shit, I need to be better. Well, that was a bad move.
And totally. And that's my hope too, is like, in this is what... And I know that if you are a troll and you were mean and I'm angering you by calling you a troll, you probably aren't. You probably were very passionate about this. Hopefully you were very young about this. And that's my biggest thing, is what we always get to do with Kinda Funny is to someone who wants to listen, be an example of a learning experience, right? It's why on GOG we share all of the stories we did of dumb shit I did or said in college, the way I used to use terms like gay or whatever, right? And it's like, I don't use that lightly. I use it to show you, no, I was wrong about that. And that's the whole point of this, is that we all grow, we all mature, we all learn something. And I hope that if you look to us for, not guidance, but if you look for us for any time of entertainment value or you respect our opinion on something, you at least listen to what we're saying and the perspective we're trying to offer to you, right? Yeah. Of like, no, no, it's okay to change. And that's the hardest thing about the internet and being a fanboy, you know what I mean? Of like, you want to lock in. You want to fight for this one thing, and that's what it is, and there's a black and a white. It's hard to hear that you're wrong. I get that. Mm-hmm. But hopefully over time and examples, you see that and you learn more from it. But
yeah,
it can be exhausting. And like for me, this is just, I was trying to figure it out. I guess it's just because I know Insomniac so well. You know what I mean? I was talking, you know, 12 years next year in March in the industry. And like, obviously I've covered PlayStation the entire time. It was my beat at IGN. And so I've seen Insomniac go. And this year's for Insomniac, I feel, is so on par to an extent with Guerrilla with Horizon, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, PlayStation fans knew these guys are fucking awesome. And gals, I'm using it pejorative, are fucking awesome. And then finally, boom, here's this breakout hit that everyone gets to see. Holy shit. And they get all the accolades and all the things and all the love they deserve. So to have it be that, like, theoretically, like, right? And I was trying to figure this out. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This is it for DLC, right? DLC 3 is the end of City That Never Sleeps.
That's as far as they've announced.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they ever confirm doing more?
I don't think they said this is it. Okay. But
theoretically, this is maybe their last bow, right?
Yeah.
In terms of what the content is. And so I just don't want to see them go out like this and think that this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And especially, the other thing too is like, you know, they've been public of, I think it was a couple days ago, they put out like, hey, you know, we're taking deserved time off. Like, mm-hmm. we're out of the office the rest of, and it's like, oh, great. So not only are they getting all this shit,
yeah.
they're getting all this shit and not able to come together and be like, no, everybody, it's cool, it's fine, it's blah, blah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not there to, you know, batten the hatches and be a group together.
It's so hard, like you were saying, being a fan of something, because you just feel, it reaches a point you feel so invested and you feel like you know better than them.
Yeah.
You know? And it was such a great conversation with Brian when we did the spoiler cast for Spider-Man that I totally recommend people listen to if they haven't already, where he broke down the suits and we were kind of like poking him and yeah. questioning like, oh, why isn't this suit there? Why isn't that suit there? Whatever. And his answer was so good, where it's just like, there's reasons for why every suit's in and every suit's not in. And we start that with the story perspective.
Yeah.
We start that with the character perspective. We start that with plans that we have for the future that aren't, oh, how can we milk DLC money? It's, oh, what makes sense in this universe? And I'm like, fuck, man. I believe that because yeah. you see the world that they built. They care. They care about every little thing and how it interacts. And it's like, to see this and to see them actually give the Raimi suit, which again, like you were saying earlier, must have been part of the plan the whole time.
Yeah,
I don't know. I count this as a huge win overall.
Oh, yeah. No, you know? Totally, totally. And that's my thing. It's like, when we move away from this,
yeah.
we're just in the moment. We're yep. in the eye of the storm. It'll be a footnote to, oh, yeah, people are really dickish about that.
Yeah.
That'll be it. That'll
That's
be the
it.
End of it. Just like the puddle thing, where the puddle thing totally. Was a big deal at the moment.
Oh, my God. It
and
was such
I
a big thing.
I forgot all about it.
You
know, like, oh, right, that's the thing that's going on.
Yeah,
too, you
they
know
had
what
the
mean?
Puddle stickers, which is genius.
Now, so let's, like I'm saying, we all need to get off the bench. Tweet today, email, whatever, write a snail mail thing to somebody that creates something you love. And I don't mean just Insomniac, whoever, anybody. We just, from now on, let's all be a little bit more vocal about it and be a little bit better about not engaging with haters. In that same vein, Games Daily is usually the news. Games Cast, usually where we talk about playing games. Fuck that. I finally did it, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it forever where, oh man, every time a new Spider-Man DLC comes out, I want to jump in and play the night or two before so I'm not garbage at it when I actually get my hands on it. And I've never had the time to do it. So I always start it, stumble my way through the story, get my ass kicked. Last night, no. Jumped in, 100% of DLC 2 and 1.
Hell yeah,
one.
You did.
Got all the suits. I'm all ready to go. I'm feeling good about tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight at 9, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever it drops. I'm going to get the Raimi suit on. Get out there.
Let's go, baby.
Get into this final one with Silver Sable. Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of the Raimi suit, I was just watching a video of it. Oh my God. It's yeah, right. like the most nostalgic thing ever. It, right. like, it looks like Spider-Man 2, the game, HD remaster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
But how you remember it, like yeah. how you actually think it would look.
I was cracking up this morning when I got out of the shower and I was brushing my teeth looking at Twitter. I retweeted it, but a guy sent the opening of the game when Spider-Man jumps out the mm-hmm. window in it, but now he's in the Raimi suit and had the Chad Kroger hero synced up to it.
Oh, God.
And I was like, fuck yes, yeah. yes, yeah. No, but thanks. Again, playing it last night, it was such a reminder. It was like, What a fucking game.
Fucking game, man.
They nailed this on so many levels. I hate the screwball challenges.
Yeah.
But it was even like the one I was hated last night was the one. Have you done them?
Or I haven't done the second DLC yet. I did all of them in the.
I think it was the last night was the one that was the first one that was screwing me off, where it was throw them up in the anti-grav thing and then do the trip mines on them.
Yeah.
I was totally playing it wrong, thinking I had to get it into the camera op moments.
Oh, yeah.
So once I looked at somebody on YouTube and I was like, oh.
That's a lot easier.
I'm done. Yeah. This is easy. Yeah. Got the trivia. But yeah, man, what a fucking game. I can't wait to finish off that DLC. Send some love today, everybody. Number two is Respawn hiring for a new Titanfall. This is from Alex Koh over at Multiplayer First. At EA's website, via Gear Nuke, checking the Respawn careers page shows there's a host of positions available that has, parentheses, Titanfall next to it, which means an entry in the franchise is in active development. That's a jump, but we'll see. At a glance, it looks like there's 15 jobs related to Titanfall. There's a chance this could be a mobile Titanfall game, but given Respawn is looking at for animators, senior game designers, and more, it's likely that this is for Titanfall 3. In EA's latest earnings report, the publisher revealed that Respawn has, quote, games, with an S, releasing next year, which means that Titanfall 3 could see a release next year, highly unlikely, question mark, or maybe it's the VR game along with the known Star Wars title.
I'm surprised that I'm not surprised by this. Let me explain
that. Lay it on me, man.
When Titanfall 2 happened, it was, for all sales extents, a failure. And it was a topic of discussion of like, ooh, EA fucked up. They should have not put that game out alongside Battlefield.
Right.
They put
Call
it out.
Call of Duty was right on top.
Yeah,
of it
you put it out to die. Like, critically acclaimed. People really enjoyed the single
people
player.
People still talk about the single player.
And it's like, but when that happened, though, it was like the headlines. For every headline that was about, oh, man, the campaign's the best campaign since Metal Gear Solid, there was three headlines that were just like, ooh. Titanfall really fucked, or EA really fucked Titanfall. So it's like, I'm surprised that we're getting more. Then we heard that we are going to get more, and like so much Respawn stuff. Respawn gets like really complicated over the last couple of years.
Vince Zampella just laughing in his giant board of games.
But now when we get to this point, I'm super not surprised that they'd be aiming to get a Titanfall next year, because I feel like the power of people's conversation at the end of the day proves that the love for the campaign of Titanfall 2, I feel... EA is looking at, and there's a lot of people there. Everyone looks at EA as the big bad guy. There's a lot of people there, and I'm sure a bunch of them are like, we got to do this again, and we got to do it right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like 2019, 2020, that could be the time for it.
Titanfall got a raw deal both times around.
Yeah.
Titanfall 1, I was madly in love with. Like, I played, and I know this sounds goofy because you guys get to play things longer than me usually. But I played, like, what, a month and a half where it was every night I was on playing Titanfall. Alfredo and me were playing. I regened. Like, this is shit I don't do. This at a time when I played no multiplayer games, let alone first-person shooters, right? Mm-hmm. But something about that multiplayer clicked so much for me. But being stranded on the Xbox One as it was struggling, as it was getting its footing, didn't do it any favors. You know, it never came to PlayStation in the time frame where it mattered or anything like that. And then Titanfall 2 came out. Yeah, it was against other things. And what'll be interesting is what they do with, if this is Titanfall 3, what they do with it. Because I stand by the fact that my problem with Titanfall 3 was, or Titanfall 2, was that they added a single player and they didn't do enough to multiplayer. Single player was, a cool thing, but multiplayer is what keeps people coming back. And so when I played through the single player campaign, I was like, all right, great. And they did interesting stuff, don't get me wrong. When I jumped into multiplayer, I was like, oh, this is just more of what I already played. I don't feel like this is new or engaging. I'm not getting the sense of like what's radically different about this. And so I bounced into play something else that was out and more that I needed to play. And I feel like, in 2018 / when they get to 2019, and if they go to 2020, we're in a different spot where, look at Black Ops 4. You can be a multiplayer-only game, right? Titanfall 1 was ahead of its time and held back by the fact that it wasn't feature complete. Mm-hmm. It was a multiplayer-only game with not as many modes as they wanted. By a year, you know, it's one we always talk about. A year later, you turn that thing on.
Yeah.
There were all sorts of things to do and awesome shit to get into. I feel like you could do that with Titanfall 3. I don't know if you want to capitalize on the critical success and the love people had for that campaign, but I do think there's something there. I love Titanfall. Yeah. I love what I played of it. I really do want to see them get a real shot at this.
I mean, counterpoint, maybe it doesn't need a multiplayer game. Maybe they like make this just a single player experience. If Call of Duty's going to just be the multiplayer, maybe you come out and be like, hey, we're going to, here's that campaign. I know it doesn't sound like that makes sense for anything that we've seen before,
yeah,
but it's a different place now. You know what I mean?
But it's also, not, I know that like, oh, not another battle royale, right? But like, Titanfall with its traditional multiplayer, then it is just ground only, it is just mechs only, or what, the Titans only. Mm-hmm. If they were to do like, hey, we have a battle royale mode that includes the Titans, right? That you can call them in and do stuff. That could be cool too.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of cool ways to do that. And I think we're just in a more accepting, awesome way, right? Of like, yeah, where we can get in and do something multiplayer only, or do something out in, you know, the outskirts here and go. Who knows?
I'm excited.
Tim?
Yes.
I want you to take a deep breath.
Okay.
This isn't on the Roper Report. I leave kindoffunny.com/you're wrong open now. People abuse it a lot and say stuff in there they shouldn't be saying and try to make jokes. I ignore it. But there is breaking news right now. The nanobiologist tweets, more news. Kingdom Hearts Twitter may have gotten hacked. All the tweets in the official Kingdom Hearts Twitter have disappeared. Potential PR stunt? Then he updates. The Kingdom Hearts Twitter appears to have been deleted. So I don't know exactly what's happening.
Sounds like a hacking.
We'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, and I'm sure they can recover it all. But
yeah.
You know, but still,
man, that sucks. Not good.
Number three.
Consumed by the darkness.
That's a Kingdom Hearts reference, I bet. If I had a Keyblade, I'd light up the darkness. Yes. That's a I Am Legend reference mixed in with Kingdom Hearts. Number three, Travis Strikes Again. No More Heroes has released some details. Would you like to hear them, Tim?
Yes, I would.
Let's start with the voice acting cast. Friend of the show, Robin Atkin Downs, is back as Travis Touchdown. Of course, you know him from Gears of War series, Fallout series, and No More Heroes 1 and 2. They don't put on there Metal Gear. That's where I know him from. Yeah. Come on. Uncharted. Was he in Metal Gear 2?
Yeah, he was in Metal Gear.
He was Metal Gear 2, right? Yeah. But it was also in Uncharted where I was going, but I said Metal Gear. But I think he's in Metal Gear, so I think it all checks out. Then Steve Bloom is back. I don't know if he's back, actually. He's Batman in Travis Strikes Again. You know him from Killer 7, God of War, Call of Duty, Blackout. He's been in a million things, Steve Bloom. You mainly know him as Wolverine, though. Fuck yeah. Kimberly Brooks is here to play Shinobu Jacobs. She was in No More Heroes 1 and 2, Halo series, Mass Effect series. Catherine Fiore is here as Bad Girl. She was in No More Heroes 1 and Spider-Man 2. And then Greg Ellis is a stage boss named Brian Buster. He was in Dragon Age Inquisition, Skylanders, and more. They also announced season pass details. Releasing on February 28th, you get a new playable character, some exclusive skills, and a bad man version ADV part 6 variations in total. And then there's another one dropping on April 30th, another new playable character, additional stage, and more. And then there's a season pass, obviously, you can get on board with to get it all at a cheaper price point. Are you going to play this one? Is this one for you?
I'm definitely going to play it.
This is the mashup of a bunch of different minigame kind of things, right?
Yes.
I know nothing of No More Heroes. Mm-hmm. Played it at a PAX, and I was like, these games are fun.
As far as I know, we only got to play one of the games so far that was like the weird like top-down looking one. I played it at a GDC, I want to say, and I didn't love it. I am a big No More Heroes guy.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed them. And going in, I knew this was going to be different, so I'm not like mad that it's not a pure sequel, whatever. There was a preview event a couple weeks ago that we got invited to, but we were busy, so I didn't get to go. I am worried about this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel, from what I've seen of it, it seems a bit too aimless. It seems a bit too Jack of all trades, master of none. I'm excited to be wrong, but I don't have too high hopes, and the season pass business, I'm like, this game doesn't need season pass. Like, that's not what this should be. And I understand that, like, very much, this is a clear story to me of, hey, we need as much money as we can get for this if you want No More Heroes 3. So,
okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We will see. That was a good pregnant pause. We got somebody looking at their phone, you dumb-dumbs. Number four, PUBG Mobile has hit 2 million downloads. This is from Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz. PUBG Mobile now appears to have almost as many, if not more, registered users than Fortnite does across console, PC, and mobile. The game reached 200 million download milestone sometime recently. What's wrong?
Nothing. I just
PUBG Corporation told The Verge the number today, also mentioning that the game has around 30 million daily active users, excluding China. By comparison, Fortnite reached 200 million downloads across all platforms on November 26th, as reported by Bloomberg. It's likely that Fortnite's mobile-only endeavor is trailing PUBG Mobile due to a later release on iOS and Android, and possibly also due to it skipping Google Play in favor of a direct download from Epic Games. Mm. The PUBG Mobile figure also does not include the game's users in China. Mm. I have not much to add there. Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
And man, PUBG. That was the biggest thing going for a while,
right? Yeah.
It's funny because like it's on PS4 now, and I remember when it got coming to Xbox One, we were all like,
it
was, yes.
The big topic was, is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Now it's like, oh, it happened. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's been on my PS4 dashboard forever, and I just haven't even started it.
There's interesting data here, though, of the idea that PUBG's doing better than Fortnite on mobile because it's only available on the Epic Game Store.
Sure.
With all the different digital storefront stories that have been going on recently, like, these are big things to keep in mind. The more that Epic pushes its thing and like has exclusives or has things only there, they're going to miss out on these big potential audiences. And when we're seeing, like, it was Discord that me and Andrew were talking about a couple weeks ago, adding like the different percentage based things that people can get, and then there's Steam and then there's Epic and all that. For indie developers, the right answer is to be in as many places as possible. Oh, sure,
yeah, you want to be there everywhere, yeah. It's very similar to what we learn at IGN and then how we treat Kinda Funny, right? It's like, we can't sit here and try to drive you to kindoffunny.com. We have to go where you are. You're on Spotify, we need to be there. You're on iHeartRadio or whatever, we got to be there. We got to be anywhere you can get it, we want to be there. And if we're not where you try to get your stuff, you need to tell us so we can go get there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Tim?
Yes.
I'm excited to one day turn on PUBG on PlayStation 4 and see how the trophies are. But I haven't done it yet, and I probably won't do it anytime soon. If I wanted some more pertinent news, like say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Got a big one today.
It's a Switch day. It's a Thursday. So I'm going to say the ones that aren't Switch / kind of are Switch and have another thing. So here we go. Farming Simulator 19 has responded to player demand with its first patch, including a new landscaping feature. So you can get that if you like that. I know. Battle Princess Madeline is on PlayStation 4 and Switch. And then Lemmings, the PlayStation Classic, is on mobile now as well. Now I'm going to read a bunch of Nintendo Switch games. ACA Neo Geo Metal Slug 5. Aw, Bring Them Home. Cake Laboratory. That sounds like a Greg game. Cool, Greg. Can I get a trailer for Cake Laboratory on Switch? Cronus Arc. City Builder. Clue, the classic mystery game. Fungi Explosion. Guess the character.
Guess the character.
I hope it's just text-based, and it's like, he's a plumber. He has a brother. Mario. Ding. Got it. This is multiple choice. Horizon Shift 81. Kingmaker Rise to the Throne. Leopold Manquisel. Nightshade. Nippon Marathon. Party Arcade. All right. Cool. Greg has me a trailer for Cake Laboratory. Here's Cake Laboratory. Oh, man. Okay. This is amazing. Let's try out a smaller cake. What do you say? Okay. What? You drop. Oh, I see. You drop the cake stuff. You try to stack it as high as you can. Well, this seems like a golden opportunity for me to play this. Shout out to the guy doing the Let's Play of it. Party Arcade. I might have already said. Pick a Picks Pieces. Raised. Reverdia. Yeah. The Keep. Tri-Bit Logic. Venture Towns. And Vivette.
Guess the character is literally just a card flip matching game.
So is it like Guess Who?
It looks more like the mini games from Super Mario Brothers 3, where there's just the cards.
Oh, okay.
But it's two players. So you're battling. Guys, come on, man.
Deals of the day. I got two for you. First off, Xbox has announced the January Games with Gold. I'm going to read from Major Nelson's blog. On Xbox One, Xbox Live Gold members can download Celeste for free during the month of January. WRC6 FIA World Rally Championship will be available as a free download from January 16th to February 15th. If we need to tell you, because you haven't listened to the show ever before, download Celeste.
Get fucking Celeste. This is a great opportunity. I was reading some interesting things on Reset Era of people pointing out some inconsistencies with the Xbox Games with Gold situation, where the promise is, and I'm going to get this wrong. Let me know.
Kindoffunny.com/wrong.
But the promise is something like you get X amount of Xbox One games and then X amount of Xbox 360 games. But now this is also including Xbox games, like original Xbox games.
Okay.
So, and in place of promised 360 games. And on top of that, they're recycling games that they've already given out before on Games with Gold. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light has already been given out as a Games with Gold game. So if you've been a long time Games with Gold subscriber, you're technically like only getting two games out of this that are promised.
Okay.
Which is interesting things, and hey, it's up to you to decide whether or not you want to keep being subscribed. But I have a feeling Games with Gold at some point is just going to get meshed into some Xbox Live service that also just includes Game Pass and call it a day.
Okay. Interesting.
But Celeste, play Celeste.
Continuing on with the games with gold on Xbox 360, starting January 1st, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light will be free for Xbox Live Gold members through January 15th. And then on January 16th, the Xbox Live Gold members can download Far Cry 2 for free through January 31st. Then, the second deal of the day for you is the Devolver Digital Twitch Prime Pack. This is up until January 31st. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, which gives you a bunch of benefits, like, of course, a free subscription you can give to anyone you see fit. We'd love it if you gave it to us. You might be one of them podcast listeners and you never use Twitch. You don't even know, care. It'd be awesome if you logged in your Amazon Prime on your Google and then you put in Twitch Prime on your Google and then you went to us and you put the Kinda Funny Games free sub there. But even if you don't want to use the free sub, which is weird, they give you free stuff all the time. And now, through January 31st, they're giving you 7 Devolver Digital games, including Bro Force, Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, The Messenger, Strafe, Crossing Souls, and Swords of Ditto.
Get on it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's go.
I'm well-versed in Hotline Miami and Hotline Miami 2. Crossing Souls, I started and Joey started. We like those two. I love Hotline Miami. Messenger, not for me, but I know it's really cool quality.
It's absolutely amazing. It is for me. It's for you, too. Don't be dumb.
Get in there.
Strafe looks cool, too. It's like the 90s first-person shooter game.
I do vaguely remember that one. Yeah. Okay, cool. And Swords of Ditto, I remember. I don't remember. I remember the title. I think people liked it. But who knows? I can't keep up with you.
I think it's about a little purple blob that copies what you look like.
No, nice. Okay.
No,
The nanobiologist also tosses in the Steam winter sale started today for all you QuickBooks and PowerPoint sales needs. So there you go, dorks. Time for reader mail. But first, I'll tell you, it's brought to you by Loot Crate. Are you aware of Loot Gaming? It's a monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. Just like my Loot Gaming Metal Gear Solid pint glass. It's the Foxhound Cup. I love it very much.
Favorite Nick glass used of to the, steal the
it from
office.
Me. Exactly. Nick would steal it from me, but now I got it back because Nick's gone. I don't have to worry about it. Plus, every crate comes with a pin, and Cool Greg usually takes them. It also comes with a t-shirt. Kevin usually takes those. This month's theme, well, the Earth is secure. It's time to take the fight. Off world, world, world. Take on alien invaders with gear from Halo, Gears of War, Mass Effect, and Galaga. There's, like I said, a t-shirt in every crate, and plus $60 of value is packed into every crate for less than $29 a month. This crate will sell out. You must order by the end of this week to guarantee yours before they sell out. The best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company come from Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. My code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off. Tim?
Yes.
It's reader mail. This is where they write in questions.
Right into it,
but
man.
Mail doesn't mean questions only. Mm. So I'm going to let EJ talk for a little bit. One of the things we've been talking about here is the Street Fighter V advertisements
okay.
that they put out.
Are you familiar with this?
Quite familiar. Some fight cash and all this jazz. Mm-hmm. We've been hung up on, is it okay to have the advertisement in there? You turn it off, you opt out, blah, blah, blah. EJ writes in with something we've apparently been missing and a whole bunch of people have been missing. So I'm going to give the floor to him. It's a long one, or her.
EJ.
And we'll go. EJ says, he wrote in, of course, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I love fighting games. I love Street Fighter V. However, Capcom's implementation of Fight Money, FM, is straight up bullshit. And I don't think anyone Kinda Funny understands since no one actively plays the game. Fair. I'll try to keep this short. It's not short, but you give a lot of good information. The problem with Street Fighter V is the fight money being ultimately useless and Capcom not offering hardcore players enough way to earn and spend FM. I don't even know how I should start, but maybe you'll get the idea. When I first heard about the sponsored ad content, I honestly didn't care. I thought, oh, I get more FM? Awesome. However, do you know how much FM you get for turning on the ads? Take a guess. I've looked ahead. Have you looked ahead?
No.
What guess? How much?
I have no context.
Okay.
100.
No. You get 4 FM. 4. If you turn on the loading screen ads. You get an additional 4 FM if you wear the ad costume. So 8 FM. Are you fucking kidding me? For context, a stage costs 70,000 FM. A character costs 100,000 FM. Talk about a grind. Now, of course, you can get 50 FM for winning a match, golf clap, and you get 1,000 FM for each character level. Parentheses, you get about 300 XP for winning a match. The higher your level, the more XP you need. I think I need 500,000 XP to level up my Sakura at the moment. Of course, Capcom has weekly challenges where you can earn more fight money, but earlier this year they reduced the rewards by half. For instance, you used to be able to get 5,000 FM for doing a challenge. Now it's 2,500 FM. And it costs 2,500 FM to participate in the special missions. So if you want this beautiful Joe costume, you have to spend 25 FM every week for 4 weeks. Oh, and if you lose the fight, it's another 2,500 FM. And of course, the difficulty ramps up every week. Let's talk about skins. Well, 95% of the skins you can't buy with FM, so better cough up the real money. Capcom will say in its press release, quote, if you turn on ads, you can get more FM, end quote. Then everything they advertise can't be purchased with FM. It's like, what the fuck? I've been playing Street Fighter V since the release, and the grind is real. The problem isn't ads. It's the economy that is consistently asking the hardcore players for money. It feels like Capcom is saying, thanks for playing our game for 300 hours. Buy our skins. Oh, you can have 200,000 FM. Well, you can't buy anything with it. Oh, you can buy two characters with that FM, but you only get the original skin. But if you buy the character or the season pass with real money, we'll give you the battle skin with it. I'm not mad at Capcom for adding DLC. Just fix the in-game currency. Reward players that put countless hours into the game instead of charging us $3.99 for one skin. Couldn't Capcom just say 50,000 FM or $3.99 for this skin? The grind is already real. Sorry for the comment, but it just seems people are more concerned about the ads when the game's economy has been broken since launch. I wish influencers, journalists, and alike would give Capcom the same shit they gave Destiny 2 for their XP, loot boxes, etc. EJ.
Interesting insights.
EJ, that's a fucking letter right there.
Yeah, good job. Thank you. Good job.
You guys watch or listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily all the time. You know our blind spots. Thank you for giving context to something. Yeah, there's no way we would have known. I'm not a fighting game guy at all. And I'm not really dialed in that community to know that this is a gripe. And yes, that all sounds like bullshit. Not so much the 4FM. Like, I expected the fight money you'd be getting from the ads being turned on to be minuscule.
We're familiar with YouTube. We know how much those ads get you.
To be just gravy or whatever, you know, whatever, yeah. Something else. But over the rest of that. It
sounds like there's a problem.
The rest of that sounds like everything. The problem. Yeah. So hell yeah. Good job, EJ. Sorry that's happening. We'll continue to bring it up when it comes up, but we'll go from there and we'll see. Brendan Foley. I don't know if he's related to Mick Foley, but I hope so. Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFG and says, hey, Greg. I've been mulling over this question for a while. Recently, you've been involved in promoting two rather poor video games, Overkill's The Walking Dead and Fallout 76. I know you cannot anticipate how well a game will launch when you are doing these events, but on a personal level, how does it feel to be associated with these games after the fact? Do you ever regret the decision? Brendan from Sydney, Oi Governor.
Oi Governor.
Great question, Brendan. So to bring you up to speed, if you did not know, ladies and gentlemen, for Fallout 76, in the lead up to it, I did a Best Buy sponsored Twitter Fallout 76 party, Vault Party, I think they call it, where it was me and another influencer who basically agreed, oh yeah, sure, we'll tweet about this and talk to the audience and the official Fallout count. And then The Walking Dead was, I hosted Overkill's The Walking Dead like launch event down there where they had a whole bunch of influencers and gameplay, and I hit zombies with, or lettuce with a bat, and yeah. I got ordered around.
That's a great
I had a bunker talk show down there or whatever. So, your question's right. I can't anticipate a launch, of course. How do I feel to be associated with these games after the fact? Do I ever regret the decision? Starting at the back, do I ever regret this decision? No. If you see us involved with a game, or in, more importantly, me in this matter, involved with a game, I'm interested in it in some level. For me, there's a difference between the Greg Miller who does Kind of Funny Games Daily, definitely the Greg Miller who does the Game Over Greggy show, the Greg Miller who, when you see me hosting something, that's me getting to stretch my Up at Noon legs, which I don't get to do anymore. I miss Up at Noon. I miss getting to sit down and talk to a developer every week about something that they're involved in, they're passionate about. And that was always my argument with Up at Noon, and not even an argument, but an argument here to bring it over so you understand my mind and my think of it, right? I pride myself, and I like to think that I'm a good interviewer and I'm a good host, and I can be dropped into any situation and host with anybody. The problem, just like podcasting, that's a muscle. And if I don't stretch it and I don't do it, it's gonna get flabby and not be good. I won't be good at it anymore. So I like to be challenged and dropped in the same way when Up at Noon, I had Planet Side on Up at Noon. I had Wildstar on Up at Noon. Yeah. I had games that I have no personal interest in Up at Noon, but I talked to them because the developers are passionate about it. I'm passionate about getting the information to the audience, right? Because I also knew I was bringing in an audience on top of the normal Up at Noon audience, an audience of their audience, and a chance for them to see me be a host and me ask the right questions. And so, starting with The Walking Dead, Overkill's The Walking Dead, I've been interested in what is this game for a long time. And so it was that thing of, I am The Walking Dead guy. I had played at E3 with Andrea, and we both walked away like, was that good or not good? We didn't like our teammates. They kind of brought down the experience. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And so for me, it was, oh, you want to get, they were basically pitched of like, we want to do Up at Noon in an underground bunker. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds fun. Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to get to talk to the developers and ask whatever I want. Yeah. Okay, sure. Let's bring them on and talk to them and do this stuff. Because if you watch that, and they were like, you can curse, you can do whatever. Like, that was them very much building a product, a show that got their message out there of what Overkill's The Walking Dead was, but also let me be me, right? I never want to go do something where, cool, clamp it on my neck and like, you have to say this and you have to do this and you have to promote this and blah, blah, blah. And like, you have to promote this. That's every deal. But yeah. I mean, like, you have to like stay on message and do this thing. This one, if you watch it, is very much me going like, people don't like it. Why don't they like it? This is that, blah, blah, blah. And getting to talk to the team, and they were very candid and very honest about what they were doing, what they're trying to do. I had fun making that project. I don't regret that project. I think there's a lot of fun clips out of that project. And I know this is not a popular opinion. I'm still very interested for that to come to consoles because I think that'll be a really fun party mode. There's interesting mechanics there. I know people have a problem with the game. The fucking studio's getting invested by or investigated by fucking Interpol or whatever. I don't know if we'll ever see the game come to console. But it was interesting and cool, and it was a fun way for me to stretch out and do different things.
And on top of that, I feel that we as a group always make sure that we're, because you're saying there's multiple Greg Millers. There's the critic versus the entertainer versus this, that. No matter what, we always need to be able to have our opinion and be able to speak our opinion in any way.
Yeah, there's
and
no not, gag order put on, like, right? Like,
not have that affected. But that is a thing for us where it... There has been times where people are like, I want you to say this or do this. And we're like, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
like and it happens a lot where with words like best or words like best. That's all that can come to my mind right now. But like they want us to say it's the best PlayStation game. Like,
oh, sure.
We're not going to say that. We will not sell our opinion in that way.
And so then for Fallout 76, and sorry if you guys aren't the inside baseball fan, like I love talking about this shit because I love it. Our whole thing's authenticity. Fallout 76 was honestly that event is literally what got me excited to play Fallout 76. And again, not a popular opinion, I'm excited to play Fallout 76 during break when I actually will have time to sit there and invest in it because I'm still stuck at like level 12. I enjoyed what I played. A lot of problems with the game. Don't get me wrong. I digress. Fallout 76, right? At E3 and on all the shows with you guys, I was like, oof, I got a lot of questions about this game. Is this game for me, right? Mm-hmm. So when they approached me and were like, hey, we're doing this Twitter Vault Party. I'm like, what the fuck's a Twitter Vault Party? Like, we're basically promoting this time to come ask questions and come talk about Fallout 76. And I'm like, oh, I have a lot of questions about Fallout 76. And like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? We're trying to sell it to people like you. It's not even that we're bringing you in to sell the game for us. It's you to be part of the conversation. And again, I found it invaluable for me. It was the first time where I had a focus on one thing, and it was Fallout, and it was... What sold me on the game that night was talking to the community. Because what it was all the hardcore Fallout 76 kids who had been doing the beta already. And I was like, well, what about this? And they were answering my questions. It was a very interesting, weird thing that was, hey, we're all talking about this game. Hey, they know more than me. Hey, I'm bringing in my audience, obviously, who's getting involved. And then what was cool that they didn't want to promote it this way and they didn't do it is they were giving away Xboxes and PlayStations and Best Buy gift cards and all this stuff. And again, it was... You know, Best Buy had hired me to do that. You know, this one was Walking Dead was a production company that hired me to do that. So, I mean, again, I'm not a journalist anymore. I'm not a critic even. I'm a commentator, whatever you want to call it, a host. So, for me, there's not this mashup. Not that we give out Metacritic scores, so it doesn't really matter or whatever. But again, I'm the guy who, Fallout 76 got a lot of fucking problems. Like, I'm not going to sit here and on this show, right? How many times have we reamed them for the stupid fucking decisions they've made with it since then?
Yeah.
I'm glad you wrote in, Brendan, that I don't regret the decisions. I don't think I'm associated with those games that way. I think people understand first off, I doubt people even fucking know. And the ones who do know, I think, for the most part, get it. And I think, you know, the other thing is interesting about it, right, is that Kind of Funny is this Swiss Army knife of a million different shows and a million different things. And we talked about this it was after you left when we kept talking about Showcase on the post show for Gamescast. The one thing to stress, of course, that I put on there, not to stress, I guess, but to give you an insight as to, like, why the fuck is Greg missing these shows to go do these events? Why is Greg hosting this thing that, again, there's the personal level of I want to stretch and I want to do something. I got approached for something totally out of my wheelhouse last night to host for a TV thing. We need to talk about it. And I was like, okay, like, this is not my normal thing. I'm going to have to do research and do this, but I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I go to do those things and the money that I'm paid comes to Kind of Funny. Like, the reason I go do that is so that we keep building to the next studio and we can buy whatever cameras we need to do and we can give people raises and hopefully, knock on wood, one day we can hire more people and da-da-da. Like, I'm not doing that for a payday for myself. I'm doing it to further this.
Yeah.
What we're building here in the community and, you know, this dream we all have for this fucking awesome place where it's all of us are best friends and doing this stuff together. And I'm not saying, like, I'm like, oh, God, you know, God bless me or something, but I'm letting you know that it's never... I like doing the shows. I wish I could do the shows all the time and like make it work that way. But I also want to go out there and get fucking paid for Kind of Funny.
Absolutely.
I want Kind of Funny to get fucking paid so we can make cool video walls and make new graphics and make new whatever.
And I think the important thing is the being associated with the game. Actually, it's just associated with being a good host. Like it's like you now host the Dice Awards. That's something that happens every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like there might come a time that's not true, but it's like you are now seen that way, and it's like it's because you do these things.
And that's a great point too. There's I don't want to name names because it's a bittersweet thing. But at Game Awards, I was talking to another host, and she was telling me like, man, it's tough right now. You know what I mean? Like the traditional like hosting things I used to do, because she's been hosting longer than me and stuff, just aren't around anymore. Like this, that, and the other. And then if they're gonna do something digitally, they keep pulling from the same pool of hosts. She's like, you. And I was like, oh, like, I don't think of myself as that. And like, that's cool and interesting that I was able to grow in that way and that aspect of my career where it is like people think of, oh, I'm going to do this thing. Oh, I should look at like Greg and Carboni and this guy.
Yeah.
Before Carboni got all Star Wars on us. You know what I mean?
Good, so beautiful.
Oh, man. Boba Fett has a cool lightsaber. Shut up, Carboni. It's been a good show, Tim.
It has been a
really good show. I'm looking to see if I have one question that's one just more. An easy question. Not easy, but you know what I mean.
Like Sean Heffernan, last one.
Why don't you read it to me?
Dear Tim and Jared, but mostly Tim.
Yeah, I guess I confuse people. Sorry. Tim was today, Jared's tomorrow. I'm on both days.
Boy, do I have a bone to pick with you. Last week, when you talked about potential 2019 Game of the Year contenders, you did not even once mention the juggernaut that is Kingdom Hearts 3. Why? I can see it not winning Game of the Year, but I think it has to be at least a lock to be nominated. Do you think there is really a chance that it's not Game of the Year quality? To work backwards in that, yes, I think there's a chance it's not Game of the Year quality. I can see it not winning Game of the Year, but I think it has to at least be a lock to be nominated. I don't think it is a lock to be nominated. I think it has the chance, potential to be nominated.
It is going to have to blow people away to be nominated. And with all due respect, looking in at it from the outside, it does not have that.
Yeah.
This is going to be a huge game for Kingdom Hearts fans.
Huge game. It's going to be many people's Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be any major sites Game of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it most likely will not even be nominated for the big sites Game of the Year.
Damn. But I agree. 100%.
But we'll see.
Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up.
Let's squad
this
up.
This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Rupert needs help. What game? No game. Rupert says, I just wanted to see if there are any Kind of Funny best friends in Australia who missed out on a Kingdom Hearts 3 PS4 Pro. I have an extra pre-order that I can sell to someone at retail so they can avoid paying the 1,000 plus they are selling for on eBay. Just thought I'd see rather than try to make a quick buck or cancel the pre-order. Melbourne area would be preferred. Otherwise, I can have it through the post. If you want to, go to Twitter. At Ruined Unation. Ruined U Nation. The letter U. Ruined You Nation on Twitter, if someone is keen. Get hype January 29th. Of course, that's in the description of the YouTube video on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Good shit.
You can get it there.
Mm-hmm.
Time to see what we got wrong, Tim.
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunny in games and listening on podcast services around the globe. I did the morning show. Really hard to drop the games.
It is hard.
Get the games. It's real hard. Lord of Pwn wrote in and said, Tim, you're wrong. Christmas is on Tuesday, as is New Year's. You said Wednesday.
I said Monday, so you're wrong on the wrong.
I'm wrong. He didn't say that part. I said that part. I'm wrong.
Oh,
we're both wrong, but for different things there. Yeah. Sorry.
Whatever. It's still like it still proves my point of like, it's not like near enough to the weekend for it to make sense.
No, totally. You know how they like to nickel and dime you.
Mm-hmm.
Dane Bird wrote in and said, hey, I don't remember if you guys noted the other day, and I don't think we did. Platinum is releasing Nier Automata Game of the Rock Edition on February 26, 2019. It includes the base game, the previous DLC, and some new DLC skins. Thank you.
That sparked something in my mind. I don't know why, but it reminded me. Onimusha is coming to Switch.
All right.
Very soon. When, though?
Lord of Pwn says Nintendo eShop, this is the deal of the day, has an early holiday sale right now. You can get Luminous for less than $10. Go get it. And Diablo 3 is currently 35% off at just under $40. There's other stuff out there. Lots of it. What do you got?
January 15th.
Wow.
Can we make sure we're on say, whatever why, list we yeah, need to be on for that?
Email me or Slack me and I can hit them up. They probably already have it, right? Or they're getting close to already having it.
I hope so.
Okay, the nanobiologist says Blizzard sale has started. Wow, it was $20 for each edition. And then Overwatch, Diablo 3, StarCraft Remastered, $10. There's a whole bunch of other stuff too you can check out. I like candy. I'm not sure if it's exactly what you said, but Richard CW63 says Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light was never an XBL game with gold. It was a PSN free game.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know
if you brought that up.
I did. I was wrong there.
Okay. And then Nanobiologist points out that for that near word I skipped over is pronounced Yora.
Yora?
Yora? Ladies and gentlemen, there is one more Kinda Funny Games Daily for the year 2018. It will be tomorrow with me and Jared Petty. It will be followed by the Kinda Funny Wingstop. Oh, there's another promotion. we're talking about advertising stuff.
Yeah.
The sponsor stuff. Wingstop Smash Brothers stream tomorrow where we will eat wings and play Smash. And let me tell you, if you think that's selling out, that is just a dream come true.
That's just living, that's baby. Just
getting paid to eat wings
and play Smash. Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Oh, yeah. Who are you going to main?
I don't know yet. Probably the big alligator looking one.
Oh.
King K. Rool, baby. Yeah.
He looks pretty badass.
Cool. Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Oh, man.